All right, let's get started on part two of this incredible book, Mach 2, With Your Hair on Fire. Last week, we covered part one, and in covering that, we talked about the critical nature of vision. And what I did is I put together a worksheet for my own group, and we worked on it last Monday night. And so what I want to do is make it available to all of you. So attached to our outline today is a copy of that same worksheet that I kind of put together to allow us to open our eyes to what vision we have right now in our lives and how deficient it may or may not be. But the importance of vision, that really without vision, man will perish. So take a peek at that and see if that serves you. So let's go on with the rest of the book. We didn't make it quite through half, so we have more than half to go through today. So let's get a move on it. Otherwise, we'll be here till midnight. And again, last week we went through page 58 of the book. For those of you that have this book, we went through visions, and we're going to kick off this week with Your Movie is Real. And in the intriguing quote he put at the beginning of this chapter was, the truth that makes men free is, for the most part, the truth which most men prefer not to hear. That's a very deep thought, so spend some time thinking that through for yourself. I won't get into the full analysis of it, but it's something that we really need to focus on and understand in our deepest sense. Otherwise, we won't move ourselves forward. And what we need to do is acknowledge the three parts of our mind, and most of you are pretty familiar with this, and we have our conscious mind, and that's kind of what provides us reason and judgment and discernment. It's how we distinguish between actual and vividly imagined things, and when it comes to our dreams, it is absolutely useless, because our conscious mind is what's in our immediate, you know, eyesight, what's in our immediate, it's not about, you know, 10 years from now or 20 years from now. Our conscious mind really can't really motivate us. It won't move any mountains for us. It's merely our ability to discern what's happening in us in the moment and around us. Our preconscious mind, he describes, and this is really kind of one of the first times I've heard it called this way, but it's where our deeper memory is stored. In other words, we collect data based on our history and what's happened to us in life. And we can refer to this area as your library. We only pull out of it, a memory comes out of the vault, like we remember something else that happened to us in the past. That's our preconscious mind. The unconscious mind, or I call it subconscious mind, is the rest of our mind. And that's where all the magic happens. And unquestionably, this is true. It's either where all the magic happens or all the disaster starts. So I can say it works both ways for us based on how we program it. This is where our habits are stored, as well as our beliefs, our faith, our courage, our inspiration, emotions, our creativity. It's what got us from the Ice Age to our abundance today. It's what's caused all the technological breakthroughs that have happened that we've seen over the last 20 years that have totally changed our world and how we operate today. Everything we ever accomplish comes from this category. This is why when we go to movies, we'll sit in a movie and we'll cry. I know I'm a big crier in movies, but the reality is that I'm living in that picture. My conscious mind knows it's not true, but my subconscious has no clue. It's the greatest way for you to recognize the power of your subconscious. Because otherwise, we would never cry in movies, we'd never laugh in movies, never, because all that is we're in the movie, and our subconscious doesn't distinguish between reality and what's just happening around us, right? That's not part of our own reality. So critical for us to understand the subconscious and really how powerful the subconscious, what play it has in our life, because we end up programming our subconscious as we go through life. A visually imagined experience has the same programming quality and impact as an actual or real experience. So we go back and talk about, let's take, for instance, a failure in your life. And this is a big part of what Richard talks about, because he had a lot of those in his life, and he shared with us a lot of those events that he had in his life. So he talked about, you know, how, you know, he got, as a kid, the different kinds of things that he went through as a child. He talked about stealing the sunglasses. I think I talked about this last week. And how he learned his mom forced him to go back and tell the truth to the guy he stole the sunglasses from. And he remembered how painful that whole experience was. And his mom didn't quite work with him well enough around the importance of truth and all those kind of things. So his perception was what? He replayed it so many times that he came to the conclusion and stored in his subconscious that telling the truth was a stupid and painful thing to do, right? He defined the experience in a negative way and replayed it so it's going to have the same impact on over and over again. So those are the kind of things that we create. We make this stuff up. It's made up stuff. But if we program our subconscious, we will continue to play that stuff out the rest of our lives. And you will continue choosing that. And most of us, is a quote out of the book, most of us have unknowingly used this extraordinary gift to actually live small, quiet, safe lives, rarely venturing out to grab our own brand of brass ring. In other words, we've programmed our subconscious to shrink us into playing life small, based only on a few things that were said or done to us that determined our whole future. And that's a sadness. That's a sadness if we allow that to run our lives. Why the importance of going out and doing self-development work and going to different seminars. I went through an intensive amount of Brian Klemmer seminars. Other yous have done many, many seminars out there to just look back and reprogram our lives, because we have all been subjected to this, because we've all had childhood experiences. Positive or negative, they've impacted our lives. What we've chose to believe and store in our subconscious, because our subconscious doesn't distinguish between real and, you know, myth, we've become that. So we want to use this same process to start reprogramming ourselves, build a life by design, right? And all we have to do is master the process. And that's what the rest of this book is about. How do we master that process so we can start layering a life that we build by our own choice and our own design, instead of by decisions that we made about events that happened in our life years and years ago that are controlling our lives today. So the next chapter is the art of deciding, convenience or commitment. And my favorite quotes, too, is from Goethe, is whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Incredible quote, right? I always say, you know, boldness is where we're all at, where what we create in our life is stepping out and doing things. And, you know, when we are in our early stages of life, when we decided what happened and put a label on who we are and all these kind of things, out of those decisions, we grew our personality. And one of those issues that people have is they said, I'm not good enough, because you somehow did something and you didn't achieve. You lost a race, and all of a sudden, I'm not good enough. And then it basically establishes the rest of our life. It establishes what we're going to do, who we're going to marry. All these kind of repercussions come out of a decision that we made in the past. So unless we rebel against them, they're going to be part of our psyche. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not loved. I'm not worthy of love. All this I amming. And that's the kind of stuff we have to decide. We have to come to a decision. And the decision implies an end to the vacillation, doubt, or dispute that you have. We have to decide. It's a distinction that we make. And the decisions we have to make for ourselves, he calls it the art of deciding. So you can get rid of that I amming stuff that you programmed yourself with in your past and start making better decisions about who you are, so that we can get rid of these crazy things that we decided that have created devastation, death, divorce, life-shaping experiences, all these things that have kind of framed us in a manner of not allowing us to be the best we can be. So what kind of decisions? Number one, we have to decide, who am I? And again, most of us made that up. by the time we are 5 years old. We made decisions of who we are by the time we are five. And so we have to look back at that and say, how are those decisions serving us? Because they're wrongful decisions based on something else that happened in our lives, events, and we made up stuff to try to analyze or determine what that meant. And we put meanings to things that happened to us. So we have to redecide, who are you? Who are you? Decide who you are. And we have to look at things like decisions of convenience. We make all these kind of decisions all the time. You know, something that happens, so we make a decision. It seems like a good idea at the time. You know, we call these decisions of convenience. In the moment, it feels right, right? It seemed like a good idea. And, of course, when we, the minute we say, oh, in the moment, it seems like it's a good idea, let's go do this. Well, if it doesn't work like we expected it to, what do? We quit doing it. How many people do that in network marketing? All the time. We see people quit all the time. Instead of reprogramming themselves, little things happen in our lives, little things that discourage us, and we see the discouragement and we start believing, that woman said no, so I really can't do this. We allow events to determine for us. And I look at somebody like Richard Brooke, look at his background. I mean, he doesn't have anywhere near, flunked out of school. I mean, he was terrible. He hated school. He didn't really care about that. He's not a well-educated guy. I mean, all this about this guy, and yet he's become a multi-millionaire in network marketing. So it's not about any of that. It's about choices and decisions we make, but we make decisions of convenience. So the decisions we have to start looking at is we need to make a decision that produces results for us and permanent change in our life, and that's a decision to commit. I'm going to do it no matter what. And he talks about the decision to commit really involves the distinction of commitment, which is a decision to do something. Just do it, no matter what's going to happen. You know, you hear that famous Nike, just do it anyway. It's a commitment to do something, no matter what obstacles, no matter how you feel, no matter how hard it gets. It's just a commitment that you're going to do it no matter what. And that's the kind of commitment you need in your life to create results. Results that you actually get aren't going to change the level of your commitment to persevere and get through the tough times, the highs, the lows, the ups, the downs. Because if there's any industry where there's a lot of that, no question network marketing presents it all, because it challenges us in so many different ways. For me, I know I went through massive challenges because I was so used to being a lawyer and being rewarded based on hours I billed. And it was just, it was kind of almost like a thoughtless task. I mean, I'm not telling you you didn't constantly tax your brain in an analysis, and it was a challenge in all of those ways, but it was intellectually challenging. But you kind of always knew the results that you were going to create. In network marketing, you never know that because it's so based on how people respond to you. So, but you know one thing. If you continue doing the same things over and over again, if you continue going out there and prospecting, continue sharing, continuing, you know, opening up the possibility to other people, continuing investing time and making you the best you can be at all those four critical activities, what? Building your contact list, contact and invite, sharing the presentation, and closing. If you continue to just educate yourself and be the best you can be in those, guess what? You'll create remarkable results. So, but it's the idea of being able to overcome the negative things that happen to us. And, you know, William Murray, it's just about making that commitment. Now, some of us make a commitment because I left a six-figure job. So I committed because guess what? I had to recreate a six-figure income because I otherwise was robbing from my family. So for me, there was a huge why. That's a big thing. Why are you going to do it? Why are you getting committed? You got to get really big why. But you got to get committed. And William Murray, the quote, and all of you have heard this one, until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. Concerning all acts of initiative, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. I mean, and you can read the rest of that quote. It's an incredible quote. Plaster that up on your wall. Put it somewhere where you can see it, that you can read it every day, that it becomes part of you. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Begin it now. Choose it today. Example might be for some of you, are you committed to winning the Jamaica incentive? I mean, the minute that incentive came out, I said, Lydia, in fact, before we even knew what it was, I told Lydia, I said, we're going to win it. because I just commit. I don't care what it's going to take. It's not about what the rules are. It's just about making a commitment. And then, you know, the environment all rolls around you. In fact, Lydia said to me the other day, she says, we only need 3 more signups. We already got all this 14 signups. We must have 11 signups already. We only need 3 more. And all we're doing is creating volume. We're just aggregating the volume to be there. I know there's some people on this call that already have all 14 of them. So I'm falling a little behind you. But the idea is that once you commit, it's incredible how everything around you starts working. Providence moves too. But it's the power of being all in and committed. There's nothing going to stop me. So jump in and be committed. Join that. But you have to choose it. You have to choose to step into that. And another thing he talks about here, he goes, there's no such thing as discipline and or commitment. There's only motivation. We are either motivated to perform in alignment with our promise in this moment or we're not. Remember what we talked about last week was about self-motivation. Most important thing we have in life is self-motivation. So what motivates you? How are you going to get motivated? What's important to you? When are you going to draw that line in the sand? When are you going to build a dream that you can achieve? And I don't mean a big, fat, gigantic dream of being a multimillionaire in 3 weeks. I mean, and we're going to talk about that when we talk about redrafting your story, building your screenplay, building your movie for you. But the idea is that self-motivation has to be present. If you're not motivated, nothing will happen. Self-motivation is underlying all of this. So, and commitment, because, you know, he talked about commitment as being a funny thing. There's no such thing as discipline and or commitment. There's only motivation. We're either motivated to perform in alignment with our promise in this moment, or we're not, right? That's the quote I just gave you. Another quote of his is, people are absolutely, unequivocally committed right up to the nanosecond. They are committed to do something else. Did you ever see yourself do that? Change on a dime? I'm totally committed to make this happen. And then you go out to do prospecting at the mall, and you walk in the front door, and you go, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go shopping instead. We're totally committed until we're committed to doing something else. Forget about discipline and commitments. Get and stay motivated. You have to stay motivated because commitment can come and go. Motivation is something that drives us. It keeps us going. All right, next chapter then he talks about the new screenplay because we understand the old screenplay in our life. Many of us can see it. We see what, you know, where our beliefs are, where we might have shattered some of them, what we've allowed to seep into our life to rob us of being motivated because we started believing in things that weren't true. We put our stake in the ground on things that had no foundation in fact. They just were, conclusions we drew from things that happened to us in life, which are absolutely ridiculous because we truly can choose to be whatever we choose to be. So if we're going to draft a new screenplay, because that's what we need, we've got to retrain that subconscious. We've got to retrain that part of our brain that just goes, okay, whatever we feed it, okay. You feed it, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't be anything. Okay, that's how it responds. I'm brilliant. I can create anything in life. I will become a millionaire. Okay, that's what it says. So how do we draft a new screenplay to start feeding that subconscious what we truly want to experience in our life? Starting with, if you look at babies, he started talking about babies. He said, you know, if you look at babies, they don't have any beliefs. They have a totally clean, when you came out of the womb, you had a totally clean slate for limitless possibilities. So how do we break through to live all of our dreams? Well, you know, babies, like he said too, he says, babies do not believe in E equals MC squared, but most adults do. Babies don't have particular religious belief, but most adults do, right? So we at birth, we have a clean slate for limitless possibilities. But how do we break through to access all those dreams and aspirations? He says, the first thing we need to do, what do we need to do? We need to give up our right to be right about ourselves because we already have predeterminations. We've already built in garbage in our brain that we have allowed to define us. So you've got to give up all that stuff. Breaking through the barriers to be successful comes down to giving up on stuff that we've created about ourselves. If you just wrote down and said, okay, take a piece of paper and say, what are my current beliefs about myself? You would probably want to throw up after you wrote a lot of those things down. You would start seeing a lot of the negativity that you carry within you. And some of it you may not even recognize because it's so deep-seated it's hard for you to pull it out or it's too painful to. But it's about cleansing from that. We want to rebuild it. We want to build, create a screenplay of beliefs. And how do we create that? When you recreate that, it's kind of like he drew the connection of creating a new screenplay of beliefs. It's kind of like dyeing a cloth. You know, if you were going to take a white cloth and you're going to dye it and try to make it a blue cloth, right? You'd have to dip it in the dye, and then you'd pull it out. And then what would happen? Oh, it still wouldn't be dark enough color, so you'd have to re-dye it again. And then maybe after three or four dyings, guess what happens? You finally get the depth of the color that you want. This process is called imprinting. And it's the same thing as what we need to do with our brain. This dyeing process with our beliefs occurs in the mind, and that's what they call it, imprinting. We have an incredible ability to create thoughts at will, and we can imprint those thoughts on our minds as often as we choose. So we need to be building that imprinting on our brain and on our mind and on our subconscious. We want to build the clarity and detail, because if it doesn't have clarity and detail, a lot of people, you know, they practice this kind of approach to, you know, changing directions in their life, but it takes repetitive behavior. It has to be clear. It has to be in detail, because the more we stay wishy-washy, the more it opens up gaps that allow us to store other things that we don't want there and go back to our bad behavior, bad habits, bad self-perception. So we want this image to be rich and complete, because it'll have the greatest impact on us. The more rich it is, the more complete it is. So it's just deciding to change your mind. You can do this whenever you want to. You just need to do it. And he suggests don't procrastinate. Do it now. Do it now. And start in that process. He gives you a whole list. In the book, he gives a whole list of questions that you can ask. Because, again, you need to be, you have to have clarity. You want to deal with as much specificity and detail as you possibly can. So you talk about, like, what exactly is an excellent weight for you? What exactly do you look like at that weight? What's the shape of your body at that weight? Can you describe the new lines and curves? This would be somebody who's looking potentially to, you know, on a weight loss issue, a weight issue. How do your clothes fit? What does a scale indicate when you step on it? What do your new clothes look like? What are people saying about the new you? How do you feel about that? Do you have any new attitudes? Are you more confident, more attractive, more secure, happier? So he goes through a whole series of questions, just questions to get greater and greater clarity. So too many of us, you know, we just sail through life without any kind of awareness of what's happening around us. Instead, we need to build this. Your questions will provide for you a powerful clarity. Your answers that you will fill your mind will give you that richness of having that real life experience. So it's about stop just drifting in life and starting to have clarity and get more specific about where we're going. You know, people, it's easier for us to do that, to develop specificity about where we're going and be positive about it and drawing pictures of it. That's why we do dream boards. That's why we have visualizations. We do all sorts of affirmations. All these things are about reprogramming that subconscious to build the life that we know we deserve to have. We know we can have. It's just start from the core. We can't just put it out there. We have to put it in there. In other words, reprogram, rebuild. A new screenplay of our life is what we're building to get greater clarity. The next chapter is, who are you to play small? He says, the reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. That's a quote from George Bernard Shaw. So where do we need to be? You and I need to be unreasonable men or women, right? We are not here to play small. And, of course, the Marianne Williamson quote, which we all love so much, is that, you know, I'll just give part of it, is our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. In fact, put that down on a sheet of paper right now. You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we inconspicuously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Take that quote, put it on your board, put it on your computer, put it on your, you know, your wallpaper. It should be in front of you. It's about us. We can't play small. We don't have time in this world. We don't have energy. We don't have any, we have no excuses to play life small. There's so much the world is crying out for from you, to hear from you what you're going to create. So we can't do that. If you have a desire in your heart, don't you think God gave you the ability to achieve it? So what's causing us to fall short of that? We're selling ourselves short. So we need to, most of us have been taught to achieve success, know exactly what we want, right? Reality is our greatest point of leverage is to work on who we are. That's what we need to do. Work on who you are. Not what you're going to become, but who you are, because in the process of working on who you are, you will become. To achieve a vision of who you would like to become, you access four cornerstones, right? Four cornerstones. To achieve a vision of who you'd like to become, access these four things. Number one, your authentic values. See, what's most important here is that you align yourself with who you are, and you choose who you are. You're drafting this picture. You're not allowing that subconscious that you've programmed with different facts that occurred in your life, so you draw conclusions from an event, which is really silly, but we do that through our age of 5, 6, 7, 8, sometimes even beyond that. We put labels on ourselves based on what happens to us, which is ridiculous. We have unbelievable capacity. So now, acknowledging that, build a vision of who you'd like to become by starting with your authentic values. So what are your authentic values? In his book, he gives a whole list of them. I do a value exercise that I do with people. It takes about 45 minutes, which is incredible. Somebody did it with me years ago. Patrick Dean, his name was, incredible guy. Coach Roy, that's what it was, Coach Roy. Lydia, thanks for the correction. Coach Roy was the one who did it with me, one-on-one. It was an incredible experience for me because I didn't know what my most important core values were. I never did that analysis. If you don't know what your most important core values are, people, you're back on square one. And you can look at a list of values and say, well, Mary Jo, I'm like 50 of these. Well, I did the same thing. And if you just go and Google values, you're going to get a list of, you can find lists out there, 465 values. And then you go through them, and my value exercise, I had to eliminate it down to 10, most important to me. That's a painful process when you start tossing aside values that you know are part of you. But you know what? We're made up of literally hundreds of values. But there are ones that are totally core and critical to us. And when you find those authentic values of yourself by doing a value exercise, it will totally change your life. because now you're standing in them. You know what are your most powerful. You know what's really running your life. You know that what you're choosing and what's most important to you. And my number one top core value is contribution. You look at Mary Jo and you go, my gosh, look at this woman. She does Monday calls. She's been doing it for 20-some years, right? I mean, posting them, sending out outlines to all of you, supporting all of you, the majority of whom are not even, you know, in my downline in any way, shape, or form, putting together websites, working with corporate endlessly to try to produce the best things we can for the field. I mean, people, this is not about, you know, me making money on any of all of this stuff. It's all about one thing, more rewarding than any money somebody could pay me is the fact of contribution. And today I'm actually going out and I'm cooking food and feeding 40 people for lunch. And I'm doing it for 4 days in a row. I don't get paid a dime and I invested all my money in buying all the food to do that. Contribution. Why do I do it? Because it's my highest core value in my life. It gives me the greatest level of joy of anything else in my life is being in contribution. So that is number one. And for me, number two was trust, because without trust, I have no relationships. How do I build a relationship with people if I don't have trust, right? So that's, and relationships with people is absolutely critical. And the third thing is commitment. My third one was commitment, because without commitment, nothing gets accomplished. Boy, did that ring true when you read this book, right? He talks about being committed. Because, you know, the universe won't be behind you until you get totally all in committed. So I get the word commitment. So, but everybody has their own set of authentic values. You need to find yours. We are all uniquely different. But you need to do a value exercise to be clear on that. Before you build your vision, you need to get clear on what are your authentic values. So find what those are. And I suggest people, you know, he suggests five, your highest authentic values, and five. And my exercise went to 10, and then I had to pare it down to five, and then I had to put them in the order of what are the, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that you need to do the same kind of exercise to be get clarity. Without clarity on your authentic values, where are you going? Number two, your gifts. Write those down. What are your gifts? Examples of gifts are things like creativity, excellence, friendships, honesty, inspiration, integrity. Some of these sound like part of your value structure as well. Organization skills, music, some of you are that, spirituality, strength. You know, so what are your gifts that you have for others? Your life purpose or theme of your life. You know, life purpose, your life theme. What is it? You know, the theme of your life, natural, passionate, joyful, fun, satisfying, unique to you. Each of us discover a theme in our lives. It's kind of like the song of our lives, our personal purpose for being there. And so what is the life purpose or the theme of your life? Accomplishments may be an authentic life purpose for some, but for most of us, the theme of our lives is much simpler. You know, it could be raising a successful family, being a role model for the community, inspiring others to succeed. That sounds like Mary Jo. These might be authentic and powerful life purposes for you, but discovering that is critical. So what do you feel the theme of your life at its most powerful level might be? And write that down. Theme of your life at its most powerful level. And number four, character traits, beliefs, and habits. Make a list of the 10 most desired character traits, beliefs, and habits that you'll need to develop to become the person who attracts what you want. Example of character traits would be, I act quickly on things I need to do. Boy, I know a lot of people are out there going, procrastination is more my character. No, stop it. Right? I look for the positive and good in everyone. I respect and take care of my body. I deserve to be successful. I play a little or a lot every day. So you want to add your character traits, your beliefs, your habits to your new vision, right? Those are your four things you do. Okay? And you use affirmations. Everybody's familiar with affirmations as well as affirmations, right? To support our vision. And he gives a bunch of examples of affirmation. I absolutely love myself. You need to build affirmation, a list of affirmations that support you to move in a direction that fulfills your vision of yourself. So you want to make sure I'm having fun. I'm in action every day. I give people my full attention. I'm healthy and vital. I have freedom. I deserve abundance. I deserve health. People love listening to me. People love being with me. Whatever those are, affirmations, draft your affirmations and write them, study them, make them a part of you. That's okay? And you study them daily so they become a part of you. All right? The next step in his book, Chapter 5, it gets into now writing the film script of your life. Because this whole purpose is to what? Your movie. We're building your movie. And you'll find out at the end why this is so important to build your movie. Incredible process that he gives us to go through to help us achieve the greatness in our life. And I put a quote in there. He says, there is more. This is from Kurt Hahn. There is, sorry, I didn't give you the author of this quote. There's more to us than we know. If we can be made to see it, perhaps for the rest of our lives, we will be unwilling to settle for less. We tend to be settlers, don't we? I remember a story in the Klemmer work where he talks about, you know, the dogs like bones, and everybody goes, yeah, dogs like bones. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, if I put a bone in front of my dog, he's going to go crazy. But really, if you took a second bowl out there and you put a bone in one bowl and you put the steak in another bowl, where do you think the dog would go? He'd go after that steak like no tomorrow. He'd gobble that sucker up like no tomorrow. I mean, that his preference, what he wants the steak. So what's happening in his life? He's settling for the bone. And how can we see that in our lives? How many times do we settle for less? Right? That's a great analogy to look at. We have to quit it. Quit settling. Quit selling out on what your life can be. The key to having our subconscious mind access and believe in our visualizations is to make them vivid, clear, and full of detail. So, and really important in all this is how we feel, our emotional base around it, right? Our conscious and subconscious relate to pictures best. That's why we do build dream boards. We do all these things. That's why when I tell people you want to be on the Jamaica cruise, put pictures of Jamaica all around your house. Because we relate to that. That's our body. We gravitate towards what is visual in our minds. So we want to build a visual, right? So the rules of the visionary's film script, you want to describe the environment. This is something. Build something to be visual. Describe the environment, right? What is the success? Where is this success taking place? Movies don't happen on white sheets of paper or in a vacuum. So if it's about being outside, what's the weather like? Is it hot or cold? Describe in detail. It's a picture, a vivid picture of how the environment to look and feel in your vision, right, of success, your vision in your subconscious mind, right? Describe the room where you're going to be or where it is, what's the weather outside, all these things. A visual. Describe exactly what's happening. So the shorter the experience, the easier it is to write what is happening. So don't make it go on for, you know, because this is about writing your script for your movie. And avoid, don't write about an entire month when you doubled your income. Describe in enough detail, right, what's happening. Write about opening the check, depositing it. Maybe that's what you need to talk about. You know, what that check comes in and you get that check once a month. And for us, it's a direct deposit. You open your bank statement or you look on the computer and there it says another $25,000 hit your bank account today. Build that plus $25,000. That's what you just made this month in your Manatech business. Number three, describe the soundtrack, the music. What music inspires this vision? You've got to come up with a music that inspires. You need, because we are so, we need to hear it. That directs us to it, feeds our brain. You want to be able to dance to it, visualize your movie, right? Number four, describe the dialogue. What exactly are you saying? And to whom are you saying? What are they saying to others? Add to every line the tone you intend for the actors you're going to use, right? Excitement, gratitude, love. What's your tone when you're talking? Number five, to direct the emotions right into the script, how you would direct the actors to play their parts. How will you act out the emotions you will experience in this vision? The emotional part of the script that you do is the most important because it's emotion that imprints, it's the emotion that imprints it on our subconscious mind. So you want to make sure that you get the emotions right. Number six, always write in the first person. I am this way now. I'm accepting this award now. I am powerful beyond measure. I am accepting a top business builder award today. Right? That is a kind of write it in first person. Number seven, always write in the present tense. Don't say in the past tense or future tense. Future is the worst. Because it's if you always put things in your movie that happen out in the future, the problem with that is that, guess what? It'll always be implanted in you to be your future instead of your today. So your movie is present tense. Number eight, always language everything in a positive word picture. The mind responds to pictures, not words. So when you're making positive statements, make sure you have a picture that reflects that in your movie. That's why you're making a movie in the first place, because it's not about words. How many years have you been writing down affirmations, right? And how is that working for you? Or setting goals and putting a, you know, writing them on a piece of paper. It's the visualization that controls the mind. The mind responds to pictures, not words. It converts words to pictures and then pursues the pictures. So you want to make sure that you're using pictures. If you want, if losing weight's a big thing, then you're going to find a picture of you when you were really thin, or a picture of a thin woman. You're going to go, that's my body, and you might supplant your face on the head of that body. So it's you, right? So as you attempt to write your script, be patient and gentle. You're in the process of changing yourself at the core. Remember, we're disposing of the old and we're coming up with the new. Don't write about boring visions. In other words, you know, make them something that's out there, that's a stretch. But also don't write about them. He says, don't write about unbelievable visions, because if it gets too grandiose, guess what? You're not going to believe it. Find those giant medium steps that are believable, and that's what you're going to build your script on. Next chapter is falling in love with the process. There is only one place you need to go, your own heart, and only one thing you need to do, wake up. Don't focus on the vision, but rather on the process. What are the processes that allow you to manifest your vision? This is what's important for you. Let's say you wanted to become a Manitech Presidential. Then fall in love with prospecting, presenting, follow-up, closing, leadership. As you do these every day, you're going to reach a love for them. So daily activity will increase your commitment to them. Every day you do them, every day you do them. Daily to-dos need to be what you love. Define who you are. Our greatest power is unleashed when we give up trying to be someone we don't really choose to be. So define who you are, okay? Who are you? When we're deserving, valuable, worthwhile, loving, we manifest in accordance with those words, right? Listeners manifest more beauty than talkers, givers more than takers, workers more than slackers, responsible people more than blamers, friends more than gossips, collaborators more than competitors, honesty more than hype. All of these things. Define who you are. Right? That's what we want to do. In building our movie, we define who we are. Our greatest leverage to a new life is to shift into who you are. You know, your habits, right? Your character traits, your beliefs about yourself and other people. And this is our chance. We're building our movie. Start writing a story of a moment in time when you are someone more powerful. What is the moment in time? In the future, when you're more powerful, more confident, more compassionate, more open, more vulnerable, and much more successful. And you can go back and you can use, he has a whole page of affirmations. I read some of them earlier to you. And those are some of the things that you can feed into that story of that moment when you are someone more powerful, more confident, more compassionate. That's what's going to be your movie. Now, producing your movie, it's chapter 7, your unconscious life cannot distinguish it from a real experience. So when you produce a movie, right? You have pictures and you have words of clarity. And you want to make sure you go out and match up pictures behind your words. You've just built your script. Now, some of you are going, oh, Mary Jo, this could take a year to do. Remember, this movie is like a one-minute movie. It's not a movie that's 10 minutes long or 20 minutes long. It's going to be a one-minute movie. So you're not, it's not something that can take, that'll take you a year to build. It's something that could take you a couple days to build. But you want to put enough time and energy that you don't choose wrong, and you want to work with somebody else, perhaps a mentor, to help you make sure that you're in the right direction on this. So you're going to have all those words and affirmations about where you're going, what you're creating, da, da, da. Again, not wildly crazy so it's like unbelievable vision, but a vision. That's why I tell people sometimes it's being presidential director in Manatech. That's 40,000 a volume. Every single one of you can achieve that. That's not a wild and crazy dream. I see people that are achieving that today. People are becoming presidential in 6 months, some people. Now, maybe that might be realistic for you, but maybe in the next year and a half. Can you do it? Absolutely. There's no question in my mind you can. So whatever that picture is, but then you have to develop what? You have to develop all the language behind it. What is my vision? I need to describe all the things that are happening, the dialogue, the, you know, all these things I need to be describing because I'm feeding my subconscious mind. Remember, your subconscious mind doesn't distinguish between real and unreal. So as you produce your movie, you've now created this reality for yourself. A picture is worth 1,000 words of clarity. So find pictures that really support all your languaging that you build for your one-minute movie. You look for quotes, video clips, music. Of course, music in the background, you want to make sure you choose your favorite music, right? Something that really motivates you, something that's really exciting for you, something that's exhilarating. Anything that helps tell your story and integrate with your written words, that's what you're doing. Make your one-minute movie with your favorite music. Of course, there are plenty of platforms out there to find music today. And record your vision in your enthusiastic, inspirational voice. You want to make sure it's you're alive. It's exciting. And then what you do, once you complete your movie, which all of us can do, every morning and every night, you watch your movie. Your conscious will absorb it. Your subconscious will start replaying it. It doesn't know the difference between real fact and dream. It's just going to feed it back. So your subconscious is critical. You're reprogramming it to be a new you, right? And next chapter is on so you just got done producing your movie. You're playing it twice a day, watching it twice a day, listening to it twice a day. And then he talks about success. The important thing is this. This is a quote at the beginning of that chapter. To be ready at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we could become. That's gigantic. Another great quote, right? And those of us that were part of boot camp, we listened to Richard Brook. He talked about how in 1983, he purchased a mock-up cover of Success Magazine with his picture on the front of it. Okay, so he purchased that because you could do it. And he hung it on his wall, and it became, he believed in it. It was his vision that he's not only going to be rich, but famous as well. In 1992, almost 10 years later, Success Magazine featured the network marketing and his skyrocketing success lead story, and they tried to get Rich DeVos, who was the president of, you know, $10 billion Amway Corporation, on the front cover, but he didn't return their calls. So what happened? They ended up putting Richard Brooks on the front cover of Success Magazine 10 years later. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy stuff. Yeah. But that's what it's about. It's incredible. It's the visualization. And in his book, he gives 15 success tips in that chapter, and I'm just going to share with you four of them. Goals are not visions, but visions are goals. Goals are statements of what you want. Visions are statements affirming you now have it and affirming how it will make you feel. Visions are vastly more powerful than goals. And that's the whole concept behind this book, right? You already have a vision for everything you can imagine yourself doing. So some of us aren't using our imagination very well. You already have a vision for everything you can imagine yourself doing. Notice what we're lacking. Man without vision will perish. So what's your vision? That's why we're working on this. That's why this book is so powerful for you. Examples of what does not work. It would be something like, I'm losing 20 pounds, I'm quitting smoking, I'm paying off my debt. The word pictures the mind focuses on are 20 pounds, smoking, and debt. That doesn't work. Notice negative, negative, negative. Losing 20 pounds, smoking, and debt. You don't want to focus on those things. So you're making them all positive. Examples of what does work, I now weigh 130 pounds and look fabulous in my new size outfits. I love the new fresh, clean, healthy me. I smell great. I sleep great. I feel great, and I'm an inspiration to those around me. I love the freedom of financial success and wisdom. My credit score is 780. I'm now saving money every month, and it's compounding away. Wow. How about that for a positive vision, right? He gives some great examples. He gives success tips on how to draft them. And his last chapter is Life Mastery Defined. And, you know, he talks about himself, obviously, because he's the author of the book, but he talks about, you know, his life, you know, that he could have easily led a small, insignificant life, one that wouldn't have been much contribution to anyone, just himself and his family, and only to the extent that he would be living just getting by, because that was what would have happened if he stayed in that chicken factory. And he said, if there's any secret to success, what is it? Self-motivation. With it harnessed, we can basically move powerfully toward anything we want. The powers of enthusiasm, persistence, courage, and creativity focused on a process we know will result eventually in some level of grand success. And he wants all of us, in his Life Mastery Defined, he talks about, he wants all of us to experience the power of that, the peace that comes with knowing where you're going in life and how you're going to get there. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. All right, people. Let's go build our movies. I'd love to see some of these movies. And if you need some help and you want to share, that would be awesome. But first, get the book, Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire. Really, it's hugely important. It's about the art of vision and self-motivation. And without those, we're going to be playing life pretty darn small. So I hope this helped you all. Love you guys. Excellent book, one of my favorites, because it kind of put in one book probably a combination of about 10 other books that I've read. But it's a good working book because it's a great model for everybody to, you know, be able to accomplish building a movie. And there's nothing better than feeding that subconscious, because if you don't feed your subconscious, somebody else will. And you're not going to like what gets filled in your subconscious. Most of us have had that in our brain for years. I know I took a long time crowbarring a lot of stuff out of my subconscious that I had believed about myself. And the changes that I made significantly made a difference in my life, as I know they will yours as well. So anyway, all right, people, love you guys. Have a great week. Let's go out there and make a difference in our lives and start with remodeling ourselves. Build your movie. Create your vision. And let's work towards it. Okay, everyone. Bye, everyone.